All right, guys, I want you to turn to a different passage. Normally, we've been going through the letter of James. Today, because it's Invite Sunday, I thought that I would take you to another passage of Scripture in the Gospel of Matthew to talk about an invitation for you and I from Jesus. So I'd like you to turn into Matthew chapter 11. We're going to focus in on three verses today, the last three verses of chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. So I was thinking about what do I share on Invite Sunday, and I thought that I would talk to you about probably the most meaningful invitation that is in the Word of God that Jesus gives, not just to the people who were listening to him when he was preaching, but to each and every one of us. And when you examine what he says in these three verses, you begin to realize that there is something there that is so meaningful for you and I, that I think sometimes we just overlook in church, just to be flat out honest with you, because, you know, when you talk about church, you can get in a rut in church, so it's like come to a service, volunteer for this, attend this class, go to this dinner, which we're going to do here soon, and the chili looked great, and a chicken noodle, I'll get my bowl, but that's really not what it's about. There's so much more to Christianity than just feeding our face. There's so much more that we're missing. And I think a lot of times it's because we're clouded in our thinking. What do you mean we're clouded? We're clouded in our thinking about Jesus, about Christianity, and about all of that. What are we clouded by? Well, we're overwhelmed. We're just overwhelmed. Two points I want to make here to help you to understand. So first of all, at times it can feel overwhelming to navigate through the chaos and disappointment that life has. But let's just be honest. It is difficult for us. It's overwhelming to, I mean, a week doesn't go by that there's not something wrong. And it's like, do I need this right now? And you're wondering, what's going on? Why is this happening to me? And then for some of us, I hate to say it, for some of us, like when it rains, it pours. It's just like one thing after another. And it's just like chaos. Plus, we live in a world with chaos. I've gotten to the place now where it's almost better for me just to turn off the news. Do you know what I'm saying? So like I'm not a baseball guy, but I see the Dodgers won. They're like, oh, wow. I had to read through a long article to figure out they won. Isn't that how they write articles these days? They don't tell you right off in the headline who won. They had to make it halfway through to realize, oh, they won. Okay, great. But then the next article is about some riot, people celebrating. And it's like, are you kidding me? What kind of world do we live in? And the chaos. And all of that is just overwhelming to us. And we talk about it being overwhelming. Let's just be honest. The casualty with that overwhelmed feeling that we have with the stuff happening in our lives, stuff happening around the world, in our own country, it is our perception of God and what he thinks about us. Period. We begin to question him. So when we sing a song like we did just here a few moments ago about the goodness of God, we sing it. We hope for it, but we question it. Like, really? Really, Lord? Then why is my car all of a sudden acting up? Why did I get this bill in the mail? Why is this happening, and why is that happening, and why is this family relationship strained, and I didn't do anything, and now I'm bearing the results of that, and God, do you really care? We ask those kind of questions. Here's the second thing I want to say to you, and that is, unfortunately, the last place you expect to find relief is with God and the church. So when you think about the stuff you're going through, I hate to say it, the last place that you find that you're going to find relief or comfort or strength or an answer from is God and the church. Because that's not what your perception of church is. If anything, our perception of church is, and I know this, it's like we don't want to talk about, tell people how things are going because we're afraid of somebody accusing us of something or even, like, do you remember in the Gospels when Jesus is walking with the disciples in Jerusalem and they come across a blind man and the disciples are having this theological discussion with Jesus and they're like, well, who sinned, Jesus? Was it his parents or did he sin in the womb? Like, sin was a result of why this man was blind. And so that's the way we are. In fact, in church, we're like that. Well, you must have done something wrong. Okay, can we all acknowledge that stuff happens without us doing anything? Does everybody acknowledge that, that's possible? Okay. But not that's not what we sometimes get in church, though. In fact, I was just thinking, you know, here's from Matthew, the same chapter, chapter 23, verse 4. Here it is. He's talking about religious Pharisees. They tie heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on people's shoulders. And they themselves are not willing to move them with a finger. So they've got, church kind of has this stuff you're all supposed to do, but the people who tell you to do it, they don't even do it themselves. Now the problem with all of that, so you've got this chaos in the world, stuff happening, that challenges your perception of God. Then you have church where we're supposed to learn about God and experience the goodness of God and the grace of God. That's communicating something as well, and it's like we've all got this bad perception of Him. I can pretty much say this, being a pastor now over 30 years. I find that most Christians have a concept of God where they think that He's just ready to punish them. He's just ready to call them to account for their mistake. He's just ready to remind them of what they've done wrong. And it's my task today to tell you that is a lie. Quit living under it. Because the passage we're about to look at is an invitation. And it tells you who God is and what He thinks about you. So I want you to notice with me, let's look together. Chapter 11, let's start with verse 28. He says this, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." You know, there's been so many times that I have read through the Gospel of Matthew and I've read those verses and I think about it for a moment and I think, oh yeah, that's awesome. But the reality of what he's saying in these three verses, sometimes I don't fully grasp them or I don't allow myself to grasp them because I am so distracted by the stuff happening in my lives. But yet, these three verses, I'm going to tell you, are an invitation for you and I that are so meaningful to us. So let's take a look at it. We're going to break it into two sections. We're going to look, first of all, to verse 28, and we're going to see the call. Here's the call. I'll read it to you again. Okay, here's what he says, verse 28. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Let's just kind of break that down for ourselves here, because we could just read that and just miss it, but I don't want you to miss it, okay? I want you to understand. Here's what he says, "Come to me." So here's what I want you to understand. Jesus is personally calling you. Can I be honest with you? For most a lot of folks, Christianity is this concept of a religion. It's like one of the religions of the world. And this is what I believe. This is my outlook on life. But you're missing it. You're missing that Christianity is so much more than that. Christianity is the living God wanting to have a relationship with you. And he's not just calling abstractly to a group of people somewhere. He's calling to you. He personally wants to have a relationship with you. Now, the problem is for most of us and for a lot of years, I, even as a believer, I kind of understood God loved me and that I was his child, but I just went about my life and did the quote Christian things to do. But exploring the reality of that relationship never even entered into my mind. And it sure didn't enter into my mind that God wanted to have a relationship with me. I want you to think about that for a moment. God wants to have a personal relationship with you right where you're at. Not some cookie cutter, this is what you got to do, that church may communicate. He wants to have a relationship with you right where you're at. And he says, come to me, come in. Spend time with me. The biggest regret I have in pastoring was in my first church. So I've been here. December 10th will be 25 years ago that I was first asked to speak here. But before that, I pastored a church in Canada for 4 years. And the biggest regret I have is in those 4 years, I remember very clearly being in my office and sensing the Spirit of God say to me, come spend time with me. But I was too busy doing ministry just to pause and spend time with God. I look back on it now and I think, is it any wonder that that church was a rough place to pastor? Now, you guys aren't. Not at all. I've learned my lesson, I think. But he wants to spend time. Don't be disappointed. Don't disappoint him. He wants to spend time with you. In fact, what do you mean he's personally calling me? Well, the verse also says this. He is especially calling to anyone overwhelmed by life. I think that's all of us. Right? You have to admit that. Well, this week's going good, George. Yeah. How's next week? You don't even know yet, do you? How's last week or last month? We don't know. We might be doing okay this week, but we don't expect things. I mean, I remember in September of 1986, I was a college student at the University of South Carolina. I'm working, like all college students do, working a job. I'm working at a Burger King in West Columbia, South Carolina. And I'm putting together people's Whoppers. Have it your way. And the store manager comes in and says, hey, George, you need to go home. Well, okay, so I'm a city boy. My wife would think this is crazy. So I worked in West Columbia, South Carolina. That's on the other end of the city. My mom lived over in Northeast Richland County. That is a 20-minute ride on the other end of the county. Now, that's a city, though. Do you understand what I'm saying? You just drive that all the time. You know, I even went to church in the next county, so it didn't really matter to me driving that. So I drove home. I walked through the door, and there's my mom. And the first thing out of her mouth is, your daddy is dead. Somebody murdered him. Talk about being overwhelmed. So things might be going good, but you don't know what might happen to overwhelm you. Did you understand what I'm saying? But Jesus, he is calling to us who are overwhelmed. Now let's just stop for a moment. Why is he calling to us who are overwhelmed? Is it so that he could tell me what I did wrong? That's what a lot of us have a perception of God about, right? That he just wants to point out what the problem is. We know people like that. We're almost afraid to tell people our problems because they're going to spend their time saying, well, it's because you did this, and if you hadn't have done that, and don't you remember back then I told you not to do this? We have this perception that God is like that. He's not like that. In fact, if you look at the context of this passage, he had just pronounced judgment on some cities that rejected him. And so he issues this general call to people, come to me. Come to me. If you're burdened and heavy laden, come to me. If you're overwhelmed. And then verse 8, he just kind of says what it is. Look at what he says here. Excuse me, verse 28, last part there. He promises to give rest for your soul. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know what I mean by that, right? Okay. Man, I think back. How many nights did I not sleep over stuff? You know what I'm talking about? How many nights was I worried and anxiety and thinking through and trying to process, how am I going to get through this and what am I going to do and where are you, God? And it's just like all of this stuff happening. And then you get up and your head is foggy and then you're like got this burden upon you that you're just carrying throughout the day. And you're like anxious and you're tired. It wears you out. And you're like, man, I just need some rest. But I'm not just talking about physical rest. I'm talking about soul rest. Where in the essence of who you are at rest and peace with him. And here's what I want you to see. The God that we think is ready to squash us is the God who's offering us rest. Why have we forgotten that? Why have we missed that? That he wants to give you and I rest. So that's the call. So with that, I want to share a verse with you just to kind of before we get to the offer when we talk about the rest. Let's just be honest, some of the chaos we create for ourselves. I came across this in the Bible reading plan we did last week on envy. It's Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 4. Here's what Solomon, the teacher, says. Solomon, the great king. Solomon, who had everything. He said, then I saw all toil and all skill and work comes from a man's envy of his neighbor. This is vanity and a striving after wind. You know what he's talking about there? He's talking about the reality that there's this chaos and this lack of peace in our lives because we're just spending our lives trying to have what other people have and it just isn't bringing any peace to our lives. And it's vanity. You may not know this about me, so I'll reveal this to you. So about 15 years ago, I had some different articles written that were published in some pastoral journals, nationwide pastoral journals. And I thought, wow, I got published in that. One was in Preaching Magazine, the other was in Leadership Journal. I was part of a book. And I thought, wow, doing good. Until I went to the next conference, And I realized that nobody read any of it. It was a pretty crushing thing for me, but it made me realize that all the effort and striving didn't matter. All the lack of sleep and worrying didn't matter. It was meaningless. It was vanity. It was striving after wind. And that the only peace I was going to find was not in somebody telling me, "Oh, I saw your article, George." It was with God, who, by the way, I told you, my greatest regret is not listening to him call me and come spend time with me. He's offering me, he's offering you rest. That's the call. So let's take a look at verses 28 and 29 now, and we're going to see the offer. Here's what he's offering. He says, "I offer you rest." But let's get a little bit specific about the rest, because that scares us. When Jesus is offering us something, we've got stuff in the back of our mind, because I told you what church is like and what we thought church was like. And I just want to point out to you what Jesus, he explains his offer. What do you mean? Here it is. Look with me. Verse 29, he says this, "Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, for you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." First of all, Jesus calls you to allow him to guide and teach you. What do you mean? He says, "Take my yoke." Now, you understand what a yoke is? Some of you don't, but a yoke is kind of like a bridle. Have you never, or a harness, a better word is harness. You understand a harness? You know, so my wife is from Northern Indiana County, and we go visit the family there a lot. A couple of my kids live down there. Every time I go down there, I've got to drive around Amish buggies, okay? So, and when I drive around them, there's that horse with the blinders on, so it doesn't freak out that I'm driving near him. And he's got a harness on him so that that driver, that Amish man or Amish woman, can guide him somewhere. He's talking about a yoke. Now, in the ancient times, that yoke was a big wooden thing that was on ox or cattle and stuff, okay? And he's saying, "I, my bridle, my harness for you is light. I want to guide you. I want you to learn from me." Now, can I be honest with you? That scares the bejeebies out of us. What do you mean? That scares us because I grew up in church, George, and I remember we're not supposed to do this or go here or don't do this or we're supposed to dress this way. Yeah, I understand. A lot of things we're told that we were supposed to do don't have any foundation in the Bible at all. They were based upon somebody's preference, not upon what God said. But he's saying, learn from me. So the offer is, I'll give you rest, but here it is. I want you to let me guide you, is what Jesus is saying. I want you to let me teach you how to live in this world. And just to make sure we understand that, here's the next point I want you to see. You can trust the heart of Jesus and how it will treat you. Okay? You can trust how the heart of Jesus will treat you. Here's what he says. This is not what we expect. He says, "For I am gentle and lowly in heart." What? I expected mighty and strong and demanding. No. I expected ready to squash me every time I did something wrong. So that was sometimes my perception of my dad. I grew up in a military home. My dad from Eastern North Carolina. And just this perception of doing no... Every time I did wrong, I don't even have to go there. But I mean, it was not good. Okay, so so sometimes you have this perception that God is like that. And I'm surprised a lot of Christians have that perception. But then when he comes along and he says to you and I am gentle and I am lowly in heart. I am humble. That's the heart that he has with you, and you can trust that. So he's saying to you, look, look, take my yoke. Let me guide you. Learn from me, because look, I love you. I want what's best for you. And I'm gentle. Third thing. You will find meaningful rest for your soul only by following Jesus. You're only going to find meaningful rest for your soul by only following him. Bottom line. Look again what verse 29 through 30 says. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He says, look, you will find rest when you do what I'm asking you to do. When you carry out the things that I'm telling you to do. When you go with what I am teaching you, and he teaches you every day in life if you allow him to do that, you're going to find the rest for your soul. And let's be honest, that's what we're looking for. Can we not admit that? When Solomon says, vanity is vanity, all is vanity, it can't be any truer than that, because I thought about many things in my years of existence that I have strived after, and then when, quote, I got them, maybe satisfied me for a day. You guys know what I'm talking about who are hunting. You get your deer, your buck. You got it mounted. You took out a loan to get it mounted. Then what are you thinking next season? It's got to be something bigger. So you're back out there striving for the next one. Yes, see, we create havoc for ourselves, don't we? And he's there offering you rest. You say, okay, George, what do we do? Well, how do we wrap this up, this invitation thing? Well, I'm going to talk to two groups of people here first. First of all, I'm going to talk to you, believer. You, at some point in your life, you made a decision to follow Jesus. But you got distracted by who knows what. It could be by the stuff that's happened in your life and the disappointment that you might have had with God. You maybe got distracted by church, or you were a part of a church, and these are the things, and let's be honest, sometimes church hasn't been good. A lot of times it hasn't been good. But I want to talk to you, because I want to say to you, whatever the reason is, I want to tell you that there is something far beyond anything that is available to you. And that is a meaningful relationship with God who cares for you. And he's calling to you. He's calling to you. Come spend time with me. Now, don't do what I did 20-some years ago and say, I'm too busy. Go to him. I also want to talk to those who might be here that don't know Jesus. I'll just be honest with you. We live in a world of chaos right now. We think it's going to get better. It might not. Who knows? We don't have any control over any of that. But I want to say to you that there is somebody who does care for you. And sometimes we have these wrong concepts of God. And the reality is that he is calling out to you. Come find rest for your soul with me. Because what this world has to offer isn't going to give you that rest. And I want to encourage you to reach out to him, because he will reach back. Let me pray for you, okay? And for myself.